Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. And thanks so much for coming back. And just like every week, I'm just going to ask you to please subscribe and give us a 5-star review. We would really appreciate it.
It really does make a difference in the podcasting world for us. And it takes you literally 30 seconds.
Yeah. I'm so excited to tell you about this case. I don't know if you have anything else you wanted to add first. I'm totally cutting you off.
No, you're totally fine. I'm looking forward to it. We are loving, all I want to say actually is, we are loving the social media theories. People have really made us pause. We actually spent probably, 10 minutes yesterday on the phone talking about a Tina Satchwell theory.
I mean, I think you're being really generous. I'm pretty sure it was like a full half hour, but yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna shout it out. Shout out to one of our listeners named Liz, who called us and asked if, or messaged us rather, and asked if we thought that Tina and her husband could have used this to fake her death, lie low for a couple years, and file a life insurance claim. And I mean, Amy, at the end of you and I's conversation, I think we like figured out how they did it, and they're living on an island in the Caribbean now.
Yeah, we like full out like plan the rest of their whole lives just for them.
So we are loving hearing those theories.
Yeah.
Please keep them coming.
And I so appreciate the fact that people are actually giving this such thought that it's coming back to us in detail, and we just never thought of it. And that's the cool part. So I'm enjoying
it. And if you haven't listened to Tina Satchwell, sorry, go back. That was episode 5.
Yes.
So go back and listen to that.
Yes. So today, I want to tell you about a case I came across that immediately piqued my interest. Full disclosure, like I was kind of thinking about doing this for episode 1, but something, I don't know, it wasn't the right timing or whatever, but over this last week and a half or so when I started thinking about what case I was going to do next, this came up and I was like, I have to do it at this point. And it's so interesting. It happened in broad daylight with people around, which totally had my jaw on the floor. It's like one of those eerie Maura Murray things. We always use Maura Murray as an example. I feel bad.
I'm going to start using Brian from last episode.
Yeah, seriously. Totally disappeared out of thin air. That's one of these cases. When I started researching, though, I was even more intrigued because almost every article I read or story I watched started with how bizarre events happen in this one town that the story takes place in. So
So is it UFOs?
It is not Area 51 or anything like that.
Darn it.
No, I know. I'm so sorry to disappoint you.
You know that someday, if anyone knows a case where someone disappeared and there's a legitimate, not legitimate, but there is a following of people that believe it is aliens, please send it to us.
Oh, I'll do that. I'll for sure do that.
I know you will.
I can't even imagine where I go with it, but yeah, send it on over. But whatever happened in this town just makes it all the more captivating, and I felt the need to have to share it, even
okay,
though
I'm in.
Yeah, like doesn't exactly have to do with this case, but I'm like, what is going on in this town? This story takes place in Skidmore. And it's an unusually small town located in Missouri with a population of just under 300. And for some, that's probably like a high school class.
Yeah, seriously.
So I would think everybody knows everybody. You know your teachers, you know the people at the gas station. Everyone's probably using the same gas station. I'm just picturing walking around high school and knowing where all the classes are and stuff like that. Really small. And this community is known for its farming. That's like its claim to fame, apparently. So some of the history is that, and the first thing I came across is that there was this one man, this is back in the 80s, and he's often identified as the town bully, which, side note, this actually has nothing to do with anything, but this is just my imagination. The town bully just makes me think of, what's his face, Biff from Back to the Future?
So, true confession, my husband is a movie, like, fanatic. I promise you he has seen, like, every movie ever made, and I have probably seen 10.
Okay, so we're going to get him on here one day, and maybe we'll just do a Back to the Future episode.
He would be down.
Yeah.
I would just go not listen.
Yeah, thanks. So this town bully, he's murdered. This guy, though, he isn't just murdered. He's murdered in broad daylight in front of so many people. And these people, when they were questioned, were kind of like, no, I didn't see anything. I couldn't tell you who did it.
Is it like a time to kill jury nullification type thing? Like, yeah, we saw it, but we kind of agree, so I didn't see it.
Yeah, I would say kind of. They're just kind of like, exactly what you said. We don't know what you're talking about. It just gives me the impression that they were like glad he was gone and wanted to protect the person or persons who killed this bully. Weird.
We're not an advocate of killing a bully, but, you know, things happen.
So our missing person's own cousin, and I'm not telling this in any chronological order, because in the scheme of thing, it doesn't really matter. But this is our missing person's very own cousin, and she was brutally murdered for her unborn baby. And I just want to say before I go any further, I should have said this at the beginning, but there is some explicit content. So if anyone that you don't want hearing this, children, for example, or if you're just disturbed by some graphic stuff, don't go any further. Pause it. Come back to it later. Whatever. Just thought I'd give that warning. So this person was murdered for their unborn baby, and it appears as though an attempt was made to remove the baby from this poor woman's womb, and they did successfully. I mean, take the baby. The person obviously did not survive.
Did the baby survive?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, I'm sorry. You said how many people live in this town?
Under 300.
So, you have talked about two murders of under 300 people.
Oh, you want to hear about the third?
Amy, is this a secret serial killer, not a missing persons case?
I don't know.
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry. So, lastly, and I don't really have any details, and I wasn't meaning to get details. That's intentional. But this other woman was brutally murdered by her own boyfriend. So these are things that we hear about for sure every day. But just picture this town's history with a population of what some high schools have. I just think it's all eerie, and it just adds to how eerie this missing persons case is. So
this is bizarre already, and we haven't even started.
Exactly. That's why I had to include it. So who I want to talk about today is Branson Perry, and this just adds to the mysterious and bizarre history of this town. So Branson Perry was just 20 years old at the time of his disappearance, and he lived with his father. So prior to him living primarily with his father, he lived with his parents and his brother. His parents were married and had divorced just about 1 year, give or take, before his disappearance. His mother described him as a very kind boy, kind of shy, pretty good kid. Branson was into things such as weightlifting, and he actually had a black belt in martial arts. So he's like tall, lanky, but like he had some skill. You know what I'm saying?
I do. And you said the parents got divorced a year ago, but he's 20. So it's not like custody is an issue.
Correct. So after the divorce, which they report was completely amicable, like they stayed friends, the kids had a choice of where to stay and where they wanted to go. And they could come and go as they pleased at either house. They were welcome.
Okay, that makes sense then.
Yeah, there were no reports that this was an extremely contentious or overly stressful time. I mean, I'm never implying when these things happen that there's no stress at all. These are life-changing, life-altering circumstances. But, you know, sometimes you can point out that in situations there's way more stress than you'd think. Or,
right.
You know. So okay. Branson chose to live with his father. He wasn't currently working or anything. It didn't seem to be problematic. It just happened to be like you're 20 and sometimes you go through periods of not having a job.
Okay.
So he's pretty typical. There's nothing that states that he wasn't. So he's living with his father, like I said. And that leads us up to the day of Branson's disappearance. So this is April 11th of 2001. Branson's father just happened to be in the hospital, and I can't tell if it was some sort of routine procedure that required a hospital stay or something unexpected. But on that Wednesday, which was April 11th, the day he disappeared, he was in the hospital with an expected return day to home on that following Friday. Now,
so was anyone else living in the house?
No.
Okay, so essentially Branson was home alone. But his dad was in the hospital, so obviously getting out soon and just coming back home.
Yeah, that's completely it.
Okay.
So now, seemingly, because Branson was just a thoughtful young guy, he wanted to get the house ready for his dad for when he came home. So he had a plan to clean it up as well as have his car fixed. His dad's alternator had crapped out on the car. I have to add that to this day, it's not really clear whether Branson himself had hired someone and found someone to fix his father's car or if his father personally hired someone to do it. But regardless, on that day, two men were in the front on the street. This is the front of the house fixing the car. I am going to post some pictures of the property on our website. I was able to find some of these pictures, and I think it's crucial to see how close in relation the house was to the street and to the other areas of the property, which are the focus of Branson's sudden disappearance.
Okay.
Two men are fixing the car, but another person was at the house, and it was a friend of Branson's. Nothing actually gives you any clues to her identity. For whatever reason, it's either not relevant or they don't want to release it. They don't say why. It's just...
Maybe she was... Could it be that she was 17? I mean, he was only 19 or 20.
That's very... Yeah, that's a really good point. I'm not sure. No one says anything in anything that I've read. So she was helping him to clean the house. Now, I want a friend that's going to help me clean my house. But I know it may seem unusual, like in all seriousness, but when I was a kid, my friends used to help me out all the time. Usually they wanted to help me get things done faster so we could hang out. So, I mean, like, I don't think it's that weird. I think in this case, maybe she was just super, super nice.
Or she liked the boy and was doing something to impress said boy.
That could be it too. Good
because
point.
I could see it like 19 and 20 being like, oh, you need me to help clean your house? Sure. I'll help you. I'll come hang out. You know.
Yeah. That makes sense. I did not think of that. Don't know why, because that seems like painfully obvious. But that's what we're here for. You and I going back and forth, right?
Yes.
They're inside cleaning for Branson's dad. The guys are fixing the car. 3 o'clock
okay.
p.m. comes around, and the friend hears the front door open and shut. I think it's like a screen kind of wooden door makes a slam sound.
Okay.
And she hears it. She looks outside, and she sees Branson and asks what he's doing. He quickly responds.
Which is fair.
Totally. Like, I'm cleaning your house. Where are you going?
Right. Where are you going?
Yeah. Like, what are you going to do? Sit outside? So she looks outside. She asks what he's doing, like I said. He quickly responds that he's just putting some jumper cables in the shed. She thinks nothing of it. I would think nothing of it. I mean, if anything, I'd be like, I don't know why you had jumper cables in the house, but okay. And she just...
Well, I mean, he also said someone's working on his dad's car. So they could have been out for that.
They could have, but I'm just like, why didn't you put him right back in the shed? But
either way.
Either way, yes. She just thinks nothing of it like most people would and continues with whatever she's doing. At some point, there's no time frame given. She's noticing that Branson is nowhere after this. He's nowhere around. And she eventually thinks to herself, he got caught up with something else, and basically she leaves. And...
Okay, hold on. So I just want to make sure that I understand what's happening.
Sure.
He goes outside. She's cleaning his house. She's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm just running something outside. And she's like, okay, cool. I'm going to keep cleaning. You do you, essentially. And then whatever amount of time passes, and she's like, he obviously didn't come back inside. So she goes to look for him. He's nowhere to be seen. So she's like, whatever, I'm out?
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
Which doesn't, okay, so let's go back, 2001. There are, cell phones are not prevalent. Don't even talk about texting. No one knows what it is. And if they do know what it is, they're not paying for it. So it's not like she's just going to text him and be like, hey, what's up? Or give him a call. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay. But I still think, like, I don't know. I guess I would a little bit investigate to be like, where'd you go?
I mean, she could have circled around the inside of the house or something. Those are good questions. I mean, the one unfortunate thing about researching this case is that there was... So one good thing is there's a lot of consistency in the articles. Like, I didn't find one that had one story that completely differed from another. But the thing was, there was not a lot of details and there wasn't a lot of specifics. So what did I do? I tried to look up news stories or interviews with the family and things like that. And I didn't hear or gather any more information from the family themselves than what I did from articles.
Okay. Well, just go ahead. Go on.
All right. So overall, nothing felt too weird, but later when everything else unfolds, she does recall a few odd things. Hindsight's always 20/20, right?
I was just going to say that.
So one, at one point, she sees Branson going through some cabinets, and then he hurries outside. When she asked him what he was doing, he was kind of like, nothing. Like, it didn't actually happen. Kind of, like, dismissive. Like, I can't quote the kid or anything, but, like, you didn't see anything is kind of what seems to be implied here. And she was just like, okay, whatever. I guess it's not a big deal, or it's none of my business, whichever. But then there was another strange thing. So at another point during that day, this friend, this I think is kind of weird, she took a shower. And when she came out, she saw one of the men who was working on the car doing the same thing in the cabinets. And she asked him what was going on or what he was doing. Then he hurried back outside to the car. And he was like, nothing, I'm not doing anything. Hurried back outside.
Is this like a false cabinet with like $1 million behind it?
Then I could absolutely tell you what happened to Branson.
True story. And, okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to make you repeat things. The guys that are working on the car, do we know the relationship to Branson?
No. So I'll skip ahead for a moment. So unfortunately, it was never determined who actually got these guys to fix the car. Was it Branson's dad or was it Branson? And I'm not sure why they weren't able to gather that. And as of present day, Branson's father has passed away. So there's no way to figure out that information.
Did he pass away shortly after Branson went missing?
It was within a year or two. It was pretty
okay, so,
quick.
I mean, it's pretty quick the police could go, hey, did you hire the guys or did your son? I feel like that's a pretty easy question to answer.
You'd think so. And okay. It kind of... Well, let me go on. Let me just tell you a little bit about the investigation.
Oh, gosh.
So, on Friday, this is the day that Branson's dad's supposed to come home, remember?
Yeah, what day did he go? How long has it been now?
So, he disappeared at 3 p.m. on Wednesday.
Okay, so it's been almost 48 hours.
Right. Friday, like I said, Branson's dad didn't end up getting out of the hospital, so his mother went to the home to check on Branson. When she got there, she found the doors either open or unlocked. And I say that because, like, when someone says the house is open, I don't know if it means unlocked, because some people kind of use the terms interchangeably. So
that's fair.
If it was unlocked, I'd be inclined to think, oh, someone left and just didn't lock up. If the doors are open, I'm like, that's abrupt. So that does make a difference to me, but nothing was really clear.
It makes a difference to you because you're into crime.
Fair enough. When she enters, the music's still playing in the house. Kind of thinks it's weird, but nothing was alarming. Nothing was out of place. So she leaves. But she came back the next day, and there was still no Branson. So at this point, she's worried. She starts calling everyone, friends, family, and no one is saying they know anything. They're just kind of confused.
Okay, is this like they truly don't know anything, or like we don't know who murdered the bully, don't know anything?
They sound like they truly know nothing.
Okay. I mean, apparently in this town, you have to clarify.
That's right. So by this time, I think Branson's father was home. So police and his dad are looking around the house. They notice nothing was missing from the house or from Branson's belongings. They check the shed and they find no jumper cables. So they had already spoken to the friend, you know, about the last time that he was seen. And she had said, like, he brought jumper cables out to the shed, but they weren't there. So in the time after his disappearance, because that was like the last... They were at a dead end, and these leads went nowhere, these leads that came in. The police searched the lakes, the ponds, the farms, even wells, everywhere. It really sounded as if it was a thorough search investigation for his location. One odd thing that happened several weeks after his disappearance was that the jumper cables did mysteriously show back up, and they were in the shed. There was not one single thing that I read that stated if it was even tested for DNA, let alone if there were results that people were holding back or results that were unknown. There was nothing.
Go ahead.
I swear, not even the words DNA uttered in any article I read, nor statements by the police or advocates. It just boggles my mind. I mean, 2001 is well enough into the game to have tested anything that they may have found by now.
Okay, two things. One, they must have nearly everyone in that town's DNA on file.
Yes.
Okay.
Seriously.
Second of all, well, I have a question now. Were the jumper cables missing publicized? Do you know?
No, I don't know that. That's a great question.
Because I would like to know if it was like, oh, we're missing these jumper cables. And then the person that had them was like, well, crap, I don't want them. You know what I mean? Or if they just said, I don't want them anyway. But go on.
I hate when you, like, leave me speechless like that, and then I'm, like, forced to stop thinking about it and continue with my story.
I'm sorry.
No, it's hilarious. Thank you. At this point, the case still generates some leads. Like, once every few months, they'll hear something, but there's still no traction.
Excuse me. They will hear something? From who? The other 299 people?
That's exactly what I think they're insinuating. Okay. I think that they followed up on a few, and nothing has really come of them. But, you know, some of them have been credible, some of them not. Still nothing. But there was one thing. But before I get there, I just want to let you know that as of today, both Brance's parents have died. So, like I told you before, Brance's dad, shortly after his disappearance, died, and his mother died, I think it's about 10 years ago now. She had cancer, wow, and she died. So Branson's
family...
Go ahead.
Sorry. So is there anyone, like, pushing this story?
Well, yes. So, I mean, he does have family that is pushing it. So his family is still committed to finding out what happened, especially his stepfather, which I found out hadn't even met Branson as he started speaking to Branson's mother just days before the disappearance. But he promised his dying wife that he would continue the search.
Oh my God, that breaks my heart.
I know. He's doing it for his wife. I mean, it's pretty noble.
That breaks my heart that he is doing this for his now deceased wife.
Yeah, me too. But thank God someone is really pushing this. I do think that there's advocates out there working for the family too, so they're not completely alone in this. You know what I mean?
I do. And I'm glad.
I'm sure you want to know if they spoke with the men fixing the car. And
they
did.
Know who they are?
They did find out who they were, yes.
But not
who hired. Don't get too excited.
Mm-hmm.
So they reported not even seeing Branson walk to the shed to put the jumper cables in there.
Did they ask him why they were in the cabinet?
No, not to my knowledge.
Oh, my gosh.
As you can see, this is part of the reason why there was such hesitation doing this case from the beginning like I wanted to. But at the same time, then I think to myself, like, this is why we do this. We want to help these cases that have gone cold or have not garnered the attention that they deserve. So then I was like...
Know.
I was like, totally. I have to.
And I also know, like, for us reading the facts looking back, it's like, well, why didn't they ask him about the cabinet? But in the moment, like, hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah, you never really can know.
So go on. So these people don't know anything about anything. They just fixed the car and left.
Yes. There were reports of police giving polygraphs, but they did not report who exactly was given the test, whether they were ruled out, or there was no evidence to support investigating the men any further. I'm just not sure.
Were they like Oprah? You get a polygraph. You get a polygraph. You get a polygraph.
That's exactly how I read it. They're just like,
awesome.
Let's just give them to everybody.
Everybody gets a polygraph.
So there was nothing until 2003. When the first and probably biggest and only lead, really, well, that's a lie. The biggest lead came in, and it was from a Jack Wayne Rogers, which always leads me to the question of why either pedophiles or serial killers go by three names, and why they
that's a good
all
question.
And why they all seem to have the name Wayne in it. But maybe that's
actually a really good one.
Maybe that's for another podcast.
Maybe that is another podcast.
Anyway, in chat rooms, I guess he had boasted about kidnapping, sexually torturing, and killing a blonde guy from Skidmore.
Where does this guy live?
It doesn't say where he lives.
Okay.
It just So the police scrambled to investigate and found no evidence to back his claims. And he eventually recanted and said they were all part of a fantasy of his. I read in one article that he probably saw a missing persons poster of Branson and made up the story based on that.
Which we know that crazy people exist, and we know that people do this stuff because they're crazy. And so I have a question. You said, why do pedophiles or serial killers have three names? Is he a pedophile or a serial killer, or is it just because he says he did that?
So, oddly enough, funny you should mention that. He's serving a lot of time in prison for possession of child porn, and get this, performing a gender reassignment surgery on someone in a motel room.
Okay. I'm going to need you to back up for 1 second. Is he a doctor?
Nope.
So he just was like, hey, I'm gonna... Was it a consensual gender reassignment surgery?
That's what it sounds like to me.
Oh, so two people are just sitting around one day and they're like, you know what? Like, I was thinking that I want to have a different gender. Which, no judgment, you do you. Like, that's fine. And then the next question was, could you think you could do it? Like, listen. I don't know. I don't know.
We can agree that he is not an okay person.
Yeah, let's just go with that.
Yeah.
Not okay.
So, I mean, even though we've recanted and there's no evidence to link him to the crime, I think he still remains a person of interest, but he has not been identified as a suspect.
Well, if they don't have anything else to go on, they probably have to at least consider that.
Yeah. And after 2003, because that's when this lead fell into the police's hands, there's been really nothing. Nothing substantial. Well, there is one more thing, and I hesitate to say it because I only read about it in one or two articles. I didn't find... There are tons of interviews with Branson's mom, and it wasn't mentioned, so I really didn't know where to place it. But one or two of the articles I read stated that Branson and a neighbor, I don't know if they were friends, acquaintances, or whatever, were hanging out. And there was an alleged sexual assault. There was reported drugging and then sexual violation towards Branson, which he was able to either disclose or his father found out very soon after. And he was very upset about it.
Okay, I have two questions real quick.
Sure.
What was the sex of the neighbor?
Male.
Okay. Do you know age range?
No, I know he was a little bit older. He was older, but I couldn't tell you off the top of my head exactly how old he was.
Did Branson, ever file a police report about this assault?
I don't believe that he did.
Who was upset? Dad or Branson, or both?
Dad was upset, and I think Branson was upset enough to have been able to discuss this with his father.
Okay.
And I kind of didn't know where to place it because I'm like, I don't really hear anyone accusing this other person of doing this to him. So does that mean there's no motive? I'm not sure.
The person never got in trouble or anything for it.
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, it's just another weird thing to chalk up to this town.
You're telling
let's
me.
Cancel. Let's go ahead and cancel our vacation to Skidmore.
Because I want to come back.
That's fair. And you know what? Listen, if one of the 300 people in Skidmore listen and want to DM us or send us an email and tell us how great your town is, we are totally open to that.
You know, I actually considered like trying to open this whole thing with some great things that happened in the town or something like that. And I'm sorry, but I couldn't find anything. But I'll be that person. I'll be that person to say, like, this is some awesome stuff going on in Skidmore, I don't mind.
Okay. Right. Okay. So
if
we
you're
are
from
now...
Skidmore, let us know.
Yeah. Shout out. So we are now, like, I guess, at least half an hour in. And I feel like I don't know anything. I mean, I got the facts of the case. That's not what I mean. But what are the theories?
So there's always going to be, did he walk away from his life? That's one. He's 20 years old. Was he involved in drugs or did he have any issues with anyone in the community?
I mean, that's totally possible. But is there anything to like say that he was using drugs aside from the alleged drugging and assault?
Nothing definitive. If anyone were to speculate, they all say that if he was using drugs, it was probably a new thing and he was just dabbling at this point. I mean, we don't know what could have happened or if
right.
his life could have ended tragically in a different way, but it seemed relatively new.
Okay.
Which would make sense. You know, he's 20. He doesn't have a job. At that age, you're looking for a place, direction, not a physical place, but your place in the world, some direction, things like that.
Right. So what is this chick that was cleaning the house thing? Has she ever come forward? No.
They've spoken with her, and that's how they know about the time that he went missing. That's why they know he was on his way to the shed to put jumper
Maybe.
Cables in there. But
everything. I love a good missing persons where everything comes from one person. Like, honestly, how do we know what she's... again, obviously, they haven't...
And you're totally right, because although there were two other people on the property, they don't really say they saw him, so...
Maybe there was magic potion in this cabinet, and it made him disappear.
Magic potion called money?
Well, I mean, and that'd be a question for the dad. Like, I want to know what was in this cabinet, because if two people, or this chick made this up and just was like, so there was this weird thing to, like, I'm not saying she killed him, but there was this, she could have said, like, yeah, and he was in this cabinet and the other guy was in the cabinet and, you know, it was really weird. So I left. I mean,
no, you're right, because what if this was a drug thing, okay? And she's just trying to cover her story, and, you know, people are going in and out of the house in regards to drugs, and she's afraid, like, I'm going to be tied to his disappearance or murder.
Maybe, sure, but at what point, okay, if anyone listening, I know you guys are all true crime people, so you're not the ones, but you can't worry about your own anything when someone else's life is on the line. So if she's lying about something, like, they are spinning their wheels in the wrong direction, because what? She doesn't want to say, yeah, there were drugs? Like, get over yourself.
And they're near 40 now, if you do the math, which I'm not really going to. I'm just going to pretend I'm a math person and round up.
Okay, can you not? Because he's only like a couple years than we are, older than we are.
Right.
And we are not near 40.
Right. Let's just keep it. Yeah, let's just keep going down that. Yep. So he's near 40. She's somewhere mid-30s to 40. I would think, like, you're not going to be that scared of something that you did when you were between 16 and 20.
Does she know Jay Wilds?
I'm just going to leave. I'm going to leave that right there.
Okay, so what do you think happened? Fell in a manhole?
I totally think it was foul play. 150% foul play.
Do you think it was the guys in the car? Do you think it was her? Or do you think it was a random other killer in the town?
I don't think it was her. And I don't think it was the guys fixing the car.
What about Mr. Three Name?
It's definitely possible. I'm kind of inclined to think that it's drugs.
Okay, what if I went a different direction, though? I'm going to say for 1 second that the sexual assault actually happened. Okay?
Oh, yes.
And he's upset more than he's pissed. But his dad is pissed. And his dad tells the neighbor, like, I'm going to report it to the police. Okay?
Got
it. Stay with me for a second.
I'm here.
And then dad's in the hospital. And he sees an opportunity to grab the kid and get rid of him. Then no one can say an assault happened.
That's true, but he merely gets lucky.
I mean, not really.
He gets lucky that the dad dies.
Years later, but not really still, because the police are going to say, okay, so the neighbor supposedly happened. Do you have any evidence? And he's like, no, my son told me. And I mean, maybe they polygraph him. Maybe they don't. Like, I don't know. I think that could potentially be, or the dad didn't want to say anything because of, you know, the stigma, if you will, of a sexual assault, let alone a male-on-male sexual assault, which, if you are a victim, like, there is no stigma. You own it, and you move on, and you become a survivor. This man does not know. But there is, you know, the potential of that.
That's true. Being incapacitated when you have the training, like martial arts, to have protected yourself, you might feel like I could have and should have protected myself.
I mean, for all you know, he was going to confront him.
Yeah, you're right. True.
And again, I don't know. Again, this is theories. I don't know, but I'm just saying, like, for me, that can't be such a little side story. Like, that is a traumatic event that happened in the months before or weeks before, we don't even know, before he disappeared. Like, I think that has to impact him.
I think it impacts him. I think that people just know so little about it.
Well, right, because there are three people that know. Him, who's missing, the neighbor, who apparently did it, allegedly did it, and the dad, who probably was ashamed and then passed away. Like, this neighbor probably is like, this is great.
Yeah, that's pretty sick. But you're not wrong.
I don't know, but I just think that, like, to discount that, for me, is difficult, you know? I don't think it was a serial killer guy, because people are crazy, and they admit to things online. And if he's already in jail for a long, long time, there's no reason for him to recant.
Although, you know, stranger things have happened.
Oh, 100%.
A.K.A. Ted Bundy.
Amy and her serial killers.
Yep.
I know. I hear you. I think for me, it comes down to two things. I want to know what was in that cabinet. Here's my question for this chick. So you realized he was missing, and before you left, you didn't go look in the cabinet? Because that's what I would do. I'd be like, oh, no one's around? I got to find out what everyone was looking at.
I don't know. I don't know if I would have thought to do that.
Are you serious? I'm so nosy.
I don't know. Maybe my younger self would, but my older self has a lot of anxiety. I'm not good at, like...
Well, let me tell you this. If I am alone in someone's house and they freaking go missing, I am, like, not just going to leave. I'm going to be like, hey, I'm going to stand outside. I'm going to call the police. I'm like, I did not do it.
But so, Melissa, you're a different breed. Like, you would have done that at 12 years old. Like,
probably so.
Most teenagers aren't thinking like that.
It's just weird that he left. And, well, he didn't leave. He's just missing. And she was just like, well, I guess I'm going to go now. What do you think foul play? But what is your, like,
I kind of am wondering about drugs. Like, if you're a drug dealer in a small town, you're gonna make yourself known by being big and bad. You know, like, you have to make an impression.
So you run around murdering people?
It could have been unintentional. Maybe you just want to rough them up. Maybe it turned
for
into
what?
That. Well, I'm not sure, but I imagine, like, if you're starting to dabble in drugs, maybe you don't know, like, what if you're saying, I'll get you back next time, or I don't have your money today, I'll get it to you another day.
I don't think drug dealers let you, like, lend money.
I think if you think your friends, you are.
I didn't deal drugs. I have no idea.
I didn't either.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, I can't imagine. I guess in a small town, they might just to be like, yeah, I know you. You're good for it. And then he didn't pay him because he had no job. I mean, I could see that.
But then I'm like, you were laying in wait at his house. Like, how could you have guaranteed he came out alone and that you were going to sneak attack him and the guys in the front weren't going to see you and the person in the house wasn't going to be looking out the window?
If you were his neighbor, you could. You know, the neighbor that drugged him that could be the friendly drug dealer.
Hey, I like how you kind of, like, merge those two theories.
Hey, you know, I'm stuck on this neighbor thing.
But you know what? You're right. I mean, I think that has a lot of substance to it. I can't ignore it.
Right. I just
and
feel
I can't,
like...
I can't find a way to disprove it or say that sounds ridiculous.
I would just imagine that if you sexually assault someone and drug them and they remember it and disclose it to someone else, you have to be in panic mode. And if there's another opportunity to potentially drug him or give him bad drugs or kidnap him or whatever, are you in self-preservation mode enough that you do that?
I mean, I feel like you totally hit the nail on the head, and I'm, like, really glad that I ended
up
putting... Look
at that, guys. I solved it.
No. I'm glad you put it out there in all seriousness, though, because I was like, I don't know where to put this. There wasn't enough information in my research to figure out exactly how it fit into everything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I also think that, like, in a small town like that, I feel like a sexual assault is going to be less publicized than a murder where they can't hide the fact that a murder took place.
And we're still trying to encourage males to come forward, you know, regardless of who has sexually assaulted them, male, female, whatever it is.
100%.
Can you imagine a mere, I don't know, 15, whatever, 20 years ago.
In a small town.
In a small town. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like, for me, that's where I end up. I'd love to hear what listeners think.
For sure. I'm with you on this. I do think that's the most plausible theory. If anyone, I know, she's going to be so proud you solved a case. But if anyone has anything to add about our, I think we can say agreed upon theory.
Thank you.
Or anything to add about substance use,
or
drug
if we
dealing,
got it wrong.
Whatever. Yes, absolutely.
If we got it wrong, like, we, this is one report, and, you know, if you live in Skidmore and you happen to be listening and you say, hey, that didn't happen, like, we are all ears, please.
Yeah, I agree. So, you guys, catch us on social media. You can email us. I mean, like, there's so many ways you can get in touch with us.
Our website is in the show link. So all you have to do is scroll up a little bit, hit the 5 stars button, and check out our website. Right there. All easy.
Awesome, Melissa.
Well, thanks for this one, Amy.
And thanks for the awesome theory. I'm totally with you on it.
All right. I'd love to hear what people think. So
yeah. I can't wait for next week to hear what case you have. I'm super excited.
It's a good one.
All right. Bye. For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production, written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production by Amy Lamar.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Discover the life-changing benefits of Meow Greens for your cat. Ever see your cat slowing down or having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Meow Greens to your cat's food for 90 days, and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Meow Greens, and I invite you to take the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, they're going to have better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to trymeowgreens.com. Use promo code TRYMEOW. That's try M-E-O-W. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a packet of Meow Greens. Ever notice your dog slowing down and having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Rough Greens to your dog's food for 90 days and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Rough Greens here, and I invite you to give your pup the Rough Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your dog will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch your dog a free Jumpstart trial bag today. Go to tryroughgreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. That's TRYRUFF. Go to tryroughgreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your dog's food to improve your dog's health. Just add a scoop of Rough Greens.